We're continuing our series on prophecy this morning, and I'm going to move this out of the way just slightly because it's in my field of vision. And the topic we're looking at is learning to hear the voice of the Spirit. And like everybody else that's spoken in this series, I'm going to read a few verses from 1 Corinthians 14. So this is Paul. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. He who speaks in a tongue builds himself up, but he who prophesies builds up the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets, so that the church may be edified. So in amongst all of Paul's great discourse on spiritual gifts, he encourages us to desire prophecy. And desire is quite a strong word, but to actually desire it, to seek it, to want it as part of a life. Now, why does he do this? Because simply it's part of the fact that our God and his Son, through his Spirit, is alive today. And God still wants to speak to us today, and he wants to speak through us today. He wants to strengthen us. He wants to encourage us. He wants to build us up. He wants to pour his Spirit and his life into our lives afresh, almost every day. He is a God of comfort. He wants to comfort us. And that I find very exciting. And prophecy, we need to understand, is God's doing. It's not ours. It's not something we conjure up. He created us to be a prophetic people. And that makes me tingle and slightly nervous. Here is a verse that we actually did in our Open the Book assemblies this week. It's quite a famous verse. This is Jesus talking about being the shepherd and us, his sheep. And in John 10, verse 27, Jesus says this: "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. So you get this picture of quite an intimate, ongoing relationship. As followers of Jesus, he says, we know his voice. We understand when it is Jesus speaking to us. We know that it's his voice above all of the others and through all of the clamor of everything else that goes on in his life. Come through crystal clear. So Jesus is saying that we will know when he speaks. We will hear his voice and we will follow him. So it talks of that kind of active dialogue of Jesus speaking, us recognizing, us leading, and then that leading changing us into action in our lives and doing things. What's more, the Bible is full of God speaking to people in different ways. Sometimes we read, it's a quiet whisper, that gentle noise. Sometimes it's like the rushing waters, and God even speaks through the mouth of a donkey. So that gives me a lot of encouragement that God can speak through any one of us. But here is the difficult bit. How do we hear God's voice? How do we know that it is God that's speaking to us and we're not just making it up, or it's another voice that's coming through? How do we know it's God speaking to us through his Holy Spirit? After all, when God spoke to Samuel, when he was in the temple with Eli, you remember, Samuel heard somebody calling out his voice, and he ran to the old priest Eli, and he woke him up from his sleep, and he said, "You called me, here I am." Neither Samuel nor Eli recognized that it was God calling them at first. So how do you hear God's voice? And it's not easy to explain how God speaks to us. I was thinking about this, and I think it's a bit like the question of how do I know I love someone? So if you're with your partner this morning, you might give them a quick squeeze of the hand, look into their eyes, and think, how do I know I love this person? Not that I'm putting any doubt into you, but you kind of just know, don't you? I mean, I went through the whole tick list in Corinthians with Carol one day just to see if I loved her. You know, love is patient. How patient am I with you, Carol? And are you patient with me? That's kind of like not the way to do it. But you kind of know, don't you, when you love somebody and when somebody loves you. But it's very hard to put into words. And that is a very unsettling thing for those of us that like everything all boxed up. How do you know it's God's voice? Well, you will know. End of. And here's another thought. If God wants to put a thought into your mind through his spirit, he only has your mind to work with, if that makes any sense. So you are thinking. Thoughts are in your mind. How do you know that they're God's thoughts and not your thoughts? The important question is, where did that thought come from? Was it from the Holy Spirit? Now, as many things in the Christian life, it would be absolutely brilliant if there was a book in the Bible that says how to recognize God's voice. Here are the top 10 rules, and you're bound to guarantee to hear God's voice. I'll speak to you every day, but it's not like that. So this next bit, I'm just going to run through a whole series of guidelines, if you like, that I've found helpful, if I've followed them, in my life in learning to hear God's voice. So hopefully these are quite practical. You might not agree with them all, but they're kind of guidelines I use for myself if I think, is this God or is this something I'm making up? And the first one is the classic one. God will not say anything that is contrary to his will already revealed in Scripture. So the Bible is always our go-to source for God's revelation, for God's will, for his character, for learning about him, for learning his character. And he is consistent in his character. So I believe that God, if God speaks to us, and calls us to prophesy, it will not be in contradiction to his character, and it will be consistent with him however he speaks. Now that's slightly different from what I'm going to say next, because he will challenge our interpretation and that application of his word. But any prophecy will be consistent with God's character. Next one is, take your hands off the scales, if you see what I mean. You know, sometimes in the old days, you used to get arrested if you falsified your scales. If you tried to cheat somebody, they brought along a piece of gold, and on the other scale, you'd already kind of put a heavier plate on, so you kind of cheated them and didn't give them enough money. You can falsify the scales of justice, and we could do that with prophecy. We can kind of keep our hand down a little bit on the side that we want God to talk to us about. Our preferences, if you see what I mean. We can falsify the scales. So we need to be aware of our own preferences and desires. Sometimes we want God to speak to us so much about a certain thing in such a certain way that that kind of makes our mind, if you like, make things up. So we need to make sure that our preferences and our desires are not the dominating factor. On the other hand, those of you who sometimes I get into this mode where I think, I'll go to the other extreme, that I assume that when God speaks, it will be always the opposite of my character and what I'm thinking and what I'd like him to say. That goes to show how tricky this is. It's basically avoid the extremes. Don't conjure up stuff that you really want God to say, and don't think that God's always going to automatically say, no, you can't do this, or I want you to go a completely different way. Do you feel a peace in your heart? Even if God's voice is challenging you and poking you and provoking you and making you feel a little bit uncomfortable, do you have God's peace in your heart? Colossians 3 verse 15, Paul says this, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And I know that in the context of this passage, Paul is talking about relationships within the church, but I've kind of found this a general rule. The reason why sometimes after basement on a Friday night, I go home and I can't sleep and I finally fall to sleep after a couple of hours, is I don't have, and then shattered on a Saturday, is I don't have God's peace in my heart. Because I'm letting things that have happened, things I might have said and wished I hadn't, and other circumstances just twirl around within me and disturb me to an extent that's kind of like not healthy. I need to know the peace of God's heart more often in my life, because I think I'm slightly stressy in my DNA somewhere. But this is a useful general guide. This word rule actually means act as an umpire. So there's an umpire supporting Shane Warne, I think, as the bowler, and telling him he's actually got somebody out. It means act as an umpire. So if you're uneasy in your innermost being, then maybe that's an indication that something's not quite right, and maybe you're not quite hearing God straight. Sometimes I make life difficult for myself by just ignoring the obvious. How many times have you been worshiping, praying, listening to a talk, out walking, and you catch your thoughts wandering? I was brought up in a generation in Sunday school, and I try not to use Sunday school here, but use Sunday morning groups. When you were taught, read your Bible, pray every day. In fact, there was a song about it, which I'm not going to sing about it. And it left you feeling that if you didn't read your Bible and you didn't pray every day, somehow you were a big failure. But the way they expected you to pray every day was to have a quiet time. And there were rules for this quiet time in Sunday school. You were meant to go into your room, lock the door, put everything away, close the window, make sure there was no silence anywhere. It's absolute quiet. And into this quietness that you've just artificially created, then you'd be able to pray and hear God's voice. And it took me quite a while to get over that, but I still sometimes feel I need to be quiet, I need to put this away, I need to put that away, I need to do that before I can hear God's voice, so that there are no distractions and no thoughts in your mind, so you're speaking into an empty mind. And sometimes that's kind of like might be a good thing to do, but the danger of that is the first thought that you get in your mind, first time you hear a car horn, or might be seeing somebody walking with their dog and the dog, you dismiss it as being not being from God. And I think the next time that happens, just have a stop and check exactly what is it that you have been distracted by. Because maybe it's not a distraction at all. Maybe it's the only way God has been able to get your attention. So if you're one of these people that likes going out for walks and being with God in the countryside, and a person walks past and the dog yaps, and you go, oh, pesky dog, you've just spoilt my worship song. Maybe God's actually telling you to have a word with that person. Maybe that person has a need, so pray for that person. So don't always think that everything that's coming into your mind is a distraction. Maybe it's God getting your attention. Here's a pause button. Now, this might just be my cautious nature, but I would suggest that don't always blurt out words of prophecy as soon as you think that God has spoken them to you. I think it's wise to hit the pause button and have a reflect. Was this really from God? Of course, if this is happening during a worship service like this morning, the amount of time you have to hit the pause button is going to be a lot shorter than if it's something that's happening during the week or as part of your ongoing life. One of the key questions to ask is this: how does this fit with the flow of what's happening so far? So in the context of a worship service and time of ministry, is what you're hearing fitting in with the flow of where God has been moving this service and what's been happening? Or if it's much longer term guidance, where does this fit in with God's guiding in the life of the church? And how he's speaking to you. Because I believe that God is a God of order rather than chaos. God created everything we see and everything we live in. He created order out of nothing. Paul talks about having orderly forms of worship, which we can misinterpret by being too tight on things. But God, I think, generally is a God of order. And he stitches things together. So sometimes, particularly in like a worship service, if you pick up the words of a particular song, somebody shares a particular passage, and you have this thought come into your mind, and you're weighing, is this from God? Is this the voice of God's Spirit I'm hearing? Should I share it? Should I share it now? One of the things to just think about is how does it fit in with what we've been doing? Because I think God seldom totally will interrupt what's been going on and totally wrench things around and jerk it so that we go completely the other way. One of the great ways I've found of knowing if it's God speaking to me is different ways of God speaking to me all stitching up and making sense together as a whole rather than just totally individual. I've got no idea if this is biblical. And it probably isn't, but whatever the time span happens, I tend to pray. This might sound odd. I tend to pray to God and say, if this is not from you, can you take this picture? Can you take this word away from me. This actually first happened when I first was able to sing in tongues. I might have told you this story before, but I took a group of young people off to a weekend, and I went into the youth meeting because that's where I love to be, rather than with the rest of the adults who were somewhere else. It was Downs Bible Week, so they had a youth program with it. And at the end of a song, people started singing in tongues, and I thought, oh, help, I've never done this sort of thing before. I feel a bit uncomfortable. What do I do? So that was probably my human mind having this dialogue. And then I just started to pray to God. I said, interrupt these thoughts. If this is what's going on in this tent is nothing from you, just take it from my mind, take my fears from my mind. And then I felt God say, just carry on singing. Sing in English first. And I was praying, is this your voice? You know, am I just making this up? Am I talking to myself? But I thought, well, I'll go with it and see what happens. So I started singing the same song again in English, which got a bit boring. And then I had this other thought come into my mind that said, who is it that would want you to stop? Who is it that's blocking you and stopping you singing in tongues? It's not me, because I love you. So just carry on singing. So I carried on singing, and then before I knew it, I sang in tongues. So I had that internal dialogue, partly with myself, but partly with God. So sometimes if I'm sitting where you are in the worship time and I see a picture, and I have a picture, my first thought is to pause and reflect, and then just to say, God, if this is not from you, let me forget it, take it away from me. As I say, it's probably not biblical at all, and it might just be something about my makeup. Make yourself available. This isn't my diary, but it could be. So at first, neither Eli nor Samuel recognized that it was God's voice that was speaking to them. But a key factor was this, that they had actually made themselves available for God to speak to them in that way. So what do I mean by that? Well, Eli, there he was, the ancient wizened priest, day after day, night after night, week after week, month after month, looking after the temple, doing everything right, everything that God could have expected him to do throughout his life, serving God in the best way he knew how. And there was Samuel as well, his apprentice, doing the same thing. And we read that at night, they actually lay down close to the ark, which was a symbol of God's presence. So you get this picture that they were living the godly life as best they knew how, obeying God's call on their life, trying to live out the way that God wanted them to live. They were making themselves available to God to speak into their life, no matter how difficult they found it when he actually did speak. So the picture here is one of relationship with God. It's one of spending time with him. And sometimes any relationship can be hard work. And any relationship will break down if those involved do not make time to talk to each other and to make themselves available to each other and to listen to each other as well as just talk, which, as is so often the case, brings us to prayer. At its simplest, prayer is a conversation with God. We can say many things about prayer and make it very difficult, but at its simplest, it's a conversation with God. It's about us speaking and God listening, but it's about God speaking and us listening. As with any relationship, the more those involved converse with each other, share thoughts and ideas with each other, the more they will understand each other and will get used to each other's voice. The more they will pick up on the nuances of the way they speak. And one of the things I'm quite bad at doing is listening between the lines. Carol will say something to me and mean something else. And after nearly 40 years of marriage, I still haven't worked that out. But there you go. They will notice the inflections in their voices. They will understand the words that they use and the context within which they're framed. They will know when to talk and when to listen. They will know when it's best not to interrupt. They will learn to read the body language of the other person and their attitudes of hearts when they speak. So if we are each to learn the language of the Spirit, then we need to strengthen our familiarity with God through prayer. As it says in Luke 18, verse 1, we should always pray and not give up. in 1 Thessalonians 5, we should pray continually. James in chapter 4 says, ask God in prayer. If we want to learn the language of the Spirit, we need to make time to pray. I tend to fill my life and become over busy. This is what happens, and I should learn this by now. I will do more and more and more until I crash and burn for the weekend, normally with a migraine, and then I get up and go again. I need to learn this. But I think I'm not the only one. We all lead busy, busy lives. But here's a challenge. There is never enough time to do everything that we think we should do or might be doing. But we always like to find time for the things that we make a matter of priority. So maybe if we want to learn the language of the Holy Spirit, we need to put prayer higher up our list of priorities, because it takes time to get to know someone.